Welcome to Conversations on Cancer, brought to you by the Riverside Cancer Institute, providing answers, debunking myths, and sharing patient stories.
Hi, this is Dr. Asim Basha. Welcome again to our podcast, The C Word, Community, Not Cancer. Today we have a special guest, Patricia Huber. Ms. Huber is a patient of one of my partners, Dr. Cassandra Lasher. And welcome to this podcast.
Thank you.
You've been going on through this for almost 2.5 years now, 3 years this summer.
Yes.
Ms. Huber was diagnosed with primary peritoneal cancer, which is a gynecological cancer, and first presented to Dr. Lasher back in June of 23. Tell me how you felt when you first felt something was wrong. Like, what was going through your mind at that time?
I thought it was a heart problem at first because it was like shortness of breath, but no pain. And then it got worse. So we went to the emergency room and then they put me through some tests. And then first thing you know, I had to stay there. And then the doctor, she came in and saying that I had cervical cancer and stuff. And we just looked at each other because I didn't expect that, And that's the way it was. I mean, we just looked at each other and then she started talking to us about it and everything. And I didn't have a lot of questions or anything and that. And then you didn't feel that until you came home and we talk about it. And then at night, things stopped. It wasn't a good night.
So when you first come in, it's kind of overwhelming this week.
It is. You go, you're not expecting what? It is. Very overwhelming.
Okay. So I guess eventually you got to Dr. Lasher.
Right.
And she started explaining things to you. How was the time between finding that out and then Dr. Lasher explaining to you? Like, what were you doing at home? What kind of experiences were you having? What were you using for support to ease your mind, if anything?
Well, Don, he was very good at that. And we'd think of things to do. And then my girls, once they got past it and everything. So that's what we did. And then we still had that first few weeks. It's still bad. But then I came out of it. And then started planning this and planning that. And nighttime was the worst for a while.
And then after Dr. Lasher explained to you a little bit about what was happening inside of you, how did you experience that?
I felt more confident. Mm-hmm. And I liked her from the very beginning. And she just made me feel calmer. Mm-hmm. And it just felt, the way she talked, like there's a lot of hope. And she was telling me about different medications. So really, I'm sitting there, I couldn't wait to have a medication.
Got it.
Because I figured there's a lot out there, a lot more than in the past. So she made it very easy for us.
Good, good. And so then you started your first type of chemotherapy back in, I think, July or August of that year.
Yeah.
And you've been kind of going through ever since, really.
Right,
with
right.
one treatment or another.
Yeah, I've gone through either 3 or 4. I started another new one, too.
5, actually.
Oh, I have gone through 5. Well, look at me go.
Including the one you're on now, yeah. That's including the one you're just starting now.
And I'm always glad because I always say when she gets me a new one, if she doesn't see the numbers, you know, she takes me off and we get a new one. And she always says, I got something else in my hip pocket. You know, it just makes you feel content, if that's the word.
So that's the good part of things, so that she always has something in her hip pocket. But how does it feel when you get word that it's not working? Does that have any effect on you?
It does sometimes. Like in the beginning on some of them, it did. It got me very upset and I had a bad time. Well, all of us had a bad time because when they say it's not you, it's your whole family that has it, which is true. And it was very hard. But then I got used to, okay, this is not working, so we're trying such and such. So I got to the point where, okay, and I was looking forward to the next step. But it took a while, a couple of different chemos for that. Mm-hmm. But you got to put your mind in the right set, too. So that has a lot to do with it.
So tell me how you put your mind in the right set.
I just don't want to be upset all the time. I just don't like it. So we just think of things to do, or we go on errands, or the kids that come over. Mostly if we have a grandchild over, that's a good thing, staying overnight. But you got to work at it. It just doesn't come to you. It comes to me now. Easier, but it doesn't in the beginning. You got to think about it and work at it, but it gets easier.
Yeah. So again, part of the podcast intention is to try to help people hear about strategies different people have. So when you said back in the beginning and you had to intentionally get your mind to that place of calmness, right. What is your approach normally? Is it mostly family? Is it friends? Is it other things? Is it yourself? What do you do?
It's myself and mm-hmm. family. And then my friends, because the girls I went to high school and stuff, we always had a plan every month. Mm-hmm. And then a couple of them every month that just the three of us. Mm-hmm. So I tried always to keep kind of busy. And we always had a list of things to do that we'd go and get. And, you know, it just helps a lot.
Keeping yourself moving.
Yeah. And the girls, my girls were either over or they called all the time. And mm-hmm. all the kids were, the whole family, they were very supportive and very good because they knew I wouldn't like that being mopey around me because nothing's worse than you'll make me mopey, you know, mm-hmm, that, mm-hmm. But which is true.
Yeah.
You know.
It's definitely something for the family of patients to know.
It's hard to say that to a family member mm-hmm. because they have to go through it themselves to get into that. They do.
No, I mean everybody's affected. Mm-hmm. Everybody's affected.
Everybody is. Even my friends.
And you are definitely creating the world of community around you, and that's really what we love seeing. I've read that you've had a fair amount of side effects with the chemotherapies and things like that.
At different points.
Yeah, I've mm-hmm. seen some things there. Tell me a little bit about do you have a fitness routine? Do you have some kind of activity that you do to keep yourself physically in good shape, given that you've been through so many treatments?
Well, I'm not an exercise person mm-hmm. or anything. I like the different puzzles that I do. I keep my mind going on that. Mm-hmm. And there's different shows that I like mm-hmm. that I watch them. Mm-hmm. And then other things is I love cooking. I'm always thinking of something for dinner, and I've always liked cooking, and that keeps your mind busy too. So.
Yeah.
And I try to do what I can. Sometimes I get too huffy. You know, the breathing part. Uh-huh. And I can't do a lot of things that I want to do. But then when I sit and rest for a little while, then I can start over again.
You come across to me as very positive, and I love hearing about that from you.
I am trying to be very positive. It makes it better, you know. It makes life a lot easier.
Yeah. Tell me about, if you don't mind, what your experience is when you come into the building here.
It's been wonderful from mm-hmm. the first time I came. I mean, every one of them are just wonderful. The attention they give you and always checking on you. And it's a wonderful place. Mm. It really is. So I don't dread when it's time to come. I don't dread it. I mean, there's no sense in that, you know.
So you have yourself a little community here as well.
Yeah. And that's what's really nice because you walk in and I've been coming here for such a while that they remember your name. And when mm-hmm. you walk by, they say hi, you know, and mm-hmm. call you by name and stuff mm-hmm. and say, oh, no, you can come over and sit over here. And it's just really nice. It's like a second family, really.
Tell me a little bit about your daughters. How did you first tell them about your cancer? How did you handle that?
I think because it was such a surprise, Nat, I can't honestly tell you. I don't remember how I did that.
Okay.
Because it was really a shock. I know I called and told them and they were upset and everything. But I think it was because the whole thing for a while was such a shock that I honestly don't remember how I approached them.
Okay. It seems like they're very involved right now and a big part of your support.
They're good.
They're a big part of your support. Tell me about how your husband keeps you supported.
He sees what I can't do and then he does it. And he does a lot of things to help me since he knows I can't do everything that I used to do. And then he'll go out to the shed and garage and do what he wants to do. And if I need him, I just call him and, you know, I need help with this. And, mm-hmm. you know, he comes in and we have a relationship like that, and then we go on our errands, decide where do you want to go, and we make our list, and off we go.
So if you were to offer a person who's just getting a diagnosis for the first time of a cancer, what kind of advice would you give them now knowing where you are at now?
I would tell them that the first maybe week or so, they'll be going through their own thing. It's not going to be a fun thing. They have to do their own experience in that, but as time goes, mm-hmm. they will hopefully get to a mindset where they'll have less time of feeling bad and more time of just accepting this is what it is and carry on, mm-hmm. you know, with the family and all mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. But everybody has a different timeline for that.
Oh, yeah, I know. They
have to work at that.
Yeah.
Because I had to work at it, so... Yeah,
you still work at it, right? Pretty much.
You have to.
You always keep
at different times. And if Dr. Lasher has something to say from one of my scans that I'm not real happy with. I have to go through that again, which that's what happens because of the severity of what I have. So that's just the way it is. And then it passes again and continue on.
So basically, you're a person who takes the news, processes it through, but then keeps on moving.
Yeah,
is that kind of what it is?
Because I don't like the bad attitude thing. It brings me down, and I don't want to be brought down because nobody else will want to be around me if I do that.
So I can't see that be an issue with you. I can see people wanting to be around you for as long as possible.
Well, no, I'm kidding. But anyway, it takes time, but it does happen, and then this is just the way it is, and it's not that bad. I mean, when you come here, you know this is what it's going to be, and that's what your routine is.
Got it. You create something. Any other support that you have that you use, either strategies of meeting certain people? You've mentioned you have planned activities and things like that to keep to and stick to them.
Not really. Like, our social life isn't the way it was either. Mm-hmm. But still, we get invited to a few parties and everything. It's a little different, but we do go. Mm-hmm. But a lot of things are a little different now. And it took a while getting used to that because we always went out a lot. Mm-hmm. And that took a little getting used to, but it worked. And still, we have a couple of them that invite us to different stuff, and we still have a wonderful time.
Yeah,
you know?
Good.
So that's good.
Good. Okay. I mean, so really what I'm getting is you're living your life to the fullest that you can.
I am.
At this point.
I can't say.
You're just taking it for what it is.
I don't see anything I regret right now because mm-hmm. I don't regret anything. I'm just doing the best I can.
Yeah. Any other words of advice for people either who are dealing with cancer or for people around helping those with cancer? Things that have helped you, and what kind of advice would you have?
Well, the more you talk to family, too, after a while, try and make them more and that comfortable, and then they can relate to you, and then all of a sudden, you're all on the same page pretty much, and you enjoy yourself, and when they come over to visit, it's a lot of fun, and you know, but it takes a while to get there.
Yeah.
But we do a lot of the family thing anyway.
Well, I do appreciate you taking the time to come in and talking and sharing
your
experience.
Thank you for asking me.
I think that's the most important thing, is that people share their experience. And it helps others who are starting their journey or wherever they are in their journey to just be able to relate. That's the purpose of this podcast.
Right.
And so I really appreciate you coming in and sharing.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah. Thank you again for listening to this podcast, the C Word, Community Not Cancer. And we look forward to sharing more stories in the future.